everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. Thank you for joining us once again. You've tuned in to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you very much for once again choosing to spend the next 30 minutes with us. Well, we are going to continue today where we left off last week. We have been going through a series we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ, and in essence, all we've been doing is we've been looking at some of the key principles that Christians who are pursuing Christ exemplify and follow and obey and live by in their daily walk with Christ. We started last week talking about the principle of service, and if I am correct, this is the sixth principle, actually the seventh principle that we've been looking at. We only have two more principles we're going to be looking at, and then the series will be over. Before we start today's message, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to be able to spend looking, considering, learning from your word. May the Holy Spirit speak to all of us clearly and loudly so that we may be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, again, thank you for joining us. We started looking at the principle of service last week. We covered two points within that principle. We're going to pick up where we left off. I do want to go back and look at a couple passages that we had discussed last week just to keep this lesson in context. The first passage I wanted to look at was found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to look at verse 13. In that passage, we are told, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." I want to go over to the New Testament and look at a number of passages in the New Testament as well that help explain what Moses said in Deuteronomy. The next passage I want to look at is in Romans chapter 6. And I want to read verses 16 through 18. And in that passage, Paul tells us this: "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." Verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." There's a couple of other passages I want to look at, but let's first consider what these two passages are telling us. And I want us to think about this, because oftentimes when we talk about the things Christians ought to do, because Scripture tells us we ought to do these things, we forget that there is actually a second perspective or a second point of view when we discuss these sort of things. Yes, we ought to be in the service for God. We ought to be doing what God has commanded us to do, and that is to be people who serve Him. But we ought not to serve God simply because He says we ought to serve Him. There's another perspective we ought to be looking at this, and we ought to be looking at it and saying this: we ought to serve God because we have a passion within us to serve Him as a result of who He is and what He has done for us on the cross. I think oftentimes as Christians, we become guilty of hearing sermons and lessons, and we do our Bible studies and our devotionals, and we hear over and over, year after year, many of the same things being said. And in time, they kind of lose their impact in our life. We talk about the death of Christ. We talk about the fact that He offered Himself as a sacrifice, as a substitute. We talk about redemption. We talk about propitiation. We talk about all these things. But I get the feeling that the more often we hear these things, the more we tend to lose, or it loses the impact and the effect it ought to have in our lives. What I'm saying is this: we ought to never forget. We ought to never forget, one, who Christ is. And we ought to never forget, two, what He has done for us. And we ought never forget, three, what it cost Him to give us what He has so freely given us. We know from Scripture, and we've talked about this many times before in this program, we know from Scripture that Christ is God. He is the second member of the triune Godhead. He is God the Son. And we've talked about the fact that even though He's God, He came into this world, He gave Himself a body, He took on the human nature, and He became a servant in order to provide us with salvation. Christ is God according to the Scriptures. And we ought never forget that Christ came, by His own words, He came to seek and save that which was lost. Who is the lost? Well, all of humanity is lost. We are all born spiritually dead. We're all born in enmity with God. We're alienated from God because of our sin. If we are going to go to heaven, if we are going to experience peace with God, and if we're going to experience the peace of God, we must enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, because Jesus, God the Son, who came into this world, offered Himself as a sacrifice and died in our place on that cross, taking on Himself the sin of the world and your sin, that's your sin and that's my sin, in order to make the payment for that sin. The wrath of God was unleashed on Christ, and the Father forsook the Son. And if we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, we receive eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. We experience His peace, and not only His peace, but we experience peace with Him. Now, what was the cost to Christ? Think about this for a moment. Jesus is the one who created you and me. He is the one who created everything that exists. He's the agent of creation. By speaking, He created us. He is far more powerful. He is far greater than anything we can possibly begin to imagine. He is God. God's love was so great for us, the epitome of His creation, that in eternity past, the Father and the Son had to agree that the only way humankind, human beings would be saved, would be through the sacrificial death of Christ. And Christ, because He loves us, the epitome of His creation, He agreed to offer Himself as that sacrifice. God, your Creator, took on a human body, took on a human nature, so that He could die for you in your place. While on that cross, God, your Creator, took your sin upon Himself. And while on that cross, once sin had entered His body, your God, or God, your Creator, took your punishment for that sin. And I know that none of us will ever, on this side of heaven, and I don't know if we will fully even understand this in heaven, but I certainly know this, on this side of heaven, we will never truly understand what it cost Christ to die for our sins. All we can possibly relate to is the physical aspect of His death, because we can relate to physical pain to some extent. But we can certainly not begin to even fathom the cost to Him on the spiritual side. God is one, though this one God is composed of three distinct persons. Three persons make up the one God. They are absolutely one in every sense of the word, though three persons. One of those died on the cross for sinners. And while on that cross, after he had taken on the sin of the world, that's your sin and my sin, God unleashed his wrath on Christ, your God, your Creator. And at some point, he forsook Christ on that cross. We know that because Jesus said, "Why have thou forsaken me?" We cannot even begin to imagine what that was like in terms of the cost of dying in our place on that cross. But as we continue to read the scriptures, and as we continue to go to church, and as we continue to go to Bible studies, and as we continue to pray and have our quiet times, let us never lose sight of who it is that we worship and why it is that we worship Him. And I want to link this to this whole principle of service. Yes, we must serve because God has commanded us to serve. And if we do not serve God, we sin against God, for we violate His command to us. But we ought not to serve simply because He says, "Serve me." He shouldn't have to, this is the point I'm trying to make, He shouldn't have to tell us to serve. We should be filled with a passion to serve Him, precisely because He is God. And precisely because as God, He was willing and did die on the cross on Calvary in our place, costing Him something we will never, at least this side of heaven again, we will never fully comprehend. It does not fit in my head that the very God who created me, that the very God who has the power to create everything that is, just by speaking it into existence, a God who I cannot even begin to imagine how great and big and powerful He is, because there's absolutely nothing I can relate Him to, and my finite mind simply cannot comprehend this. This God, the God of the Bible, came into this world to die for me, so that if I enter into a personal relationship, I could be guaranteed a place in heaven because I have been adopted into His family as His child, and I have been forgiven of all my sin, and I have the peace of God, and I'm experiencing for the first time in my life peace with God. Do you understand? Can you begin to even grasp the magnitude of the work that God accomplished on our behalf on that cross? Remember who it is that Jesus is, and remember what it is that He did. And then allow that to stir your heart to passionately serve Him. Now, we said last week this, that there's service ought to look like something. Service should be something. We said last week that service should be sacrificial, and we said that service should be real. And we looked at a number of passages to make that point. Today, I want to start looking at, try to get through at least three more points about what service should be like. First of all, service should be enthusiastic. Let's look at a couple of passages here. Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. You know what the psalmist is telling us as Christians? That as Christians, our service for Him should be enthusiastic. We should serve God gladly. And we should shout out His name as we serve Him. Have you experienced that sentiment that the psalmist is talking about when you serve God? Or let's even step back a little bit. Do we even serve God? Perhaps we haven't experienced this feeling, this sentiment, because we don't serve God. We think waking up and maybe voicing His name is doing God a favor. Have we forgotten who we are in light of who He is? And have we forgotten what it is that we can't do for ourselves, i.e. salvation, and what it is that He did for us for salvation? Let's look at another passage. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Listen to what Paul said. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Underline that passage. Never lose your zeal. Always be enthusiastic in your service for God. He says, listen, keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Why? Because He is God. And because as God, He died for you in your place on that cross. Let's look at another point. Service ought to be relational. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 2. And let's look at what Jesus said to one of the churches to whom a letter was sent. Listen, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for My name and have not grown weary. Great stuff. I mean, this is something you want Jesus saying about you. But listen to what He says next. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Listen. Service is nothing if it's not relational. If you forget why it is that you serve, who it is that you serve, your service is meaningless. And though Christ may be able to come and say, I know your deeds, and I know your perseverance, and I know the hardships you endured, but listen, I've got this against you. You forgot Me. Service should be relational. We must make sure that we never forget that we serve our first love. Let's look at another passage in terms of relational. Luke chapter 10. And I know I'm looking at a lot of verses, but I like to look at Scripture and let Scripture tell us what it is that we have to be communicating here. Luke chapter 10, verses 38. I'll start in verse 38. And you're well familiar with this story. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Listen, what Jesus is saying here is this. You must not allow those things which you yourself think are worth thinking about if they distract you from your relationship to me. There is one thing that is more important than anything else, and it's you spending time with me, having a relationship with me. The better the relationship, the better your service, the more you'll serve, and the more you will develop a passion to continue to serve. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. Focus on that which is important, and that which is important is your relationship to me, said Jesus. It's not to say that other things aren't important to consider, but if they get in the way of your relationship and your service to Jesus, set them aside and focus on that which is of most importance. A last point I want to make, because we're going to come to an end of this message, is that service should look or should be expectant. Let's go back to Luke. This time we're going to look at chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 35. Jesus said, "See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you." Now let me go back. I want to look at another passage here. Or let me move forward down to, let's see. And then he said, I'm looking at the wrong passage. We're still in the same verse. We're starting in verse 35, but I'm looking at the wrong chapter. Chapter 12. Something sounded wrong when I was reading that. Chapter 12, verse 35. "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. He who dresses himself to serve will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them." Listen, our service should be expected. We should be expecting the Lord to return on any moment. Listen, I heard a preacher say this on the radio the other day, and I just like the way he said it. The time to serve Jesus is growing shorter and shorter as every minute passes by. You see, Jesus can return tomorrow. Jesus can return in a week or in a month. We don't know. But this we do know, that with every passing day, the opportunity to serve Jesus is shrinking and shrinking. Why do you serve the Lord? Yes, he tells you you serve him because that's what he wants you to do as his child. But you ought to serve him more so than because he tells you you ought to, because you love him and you understand who he is and what he's done for you. Listen. Make sure your candle is lit. Make sure you're dressed, waiting for him. And as you're doing so, make sure you are serving him with your whole heart. Well, we've reached the end of this message. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus, for his love for us, demonstrated in the fact that he gave his life for us on the cross. May we serve you passionately because of who he is and because of what he has done. Thank you, Lord, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.